Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark, and in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
Today, we're finishing talking about Bjork's 2011 album, Biophilia. It's a cosmic, brilliant, sexy ride, and we're here for it.
But first, let's talk about missed opportunities.
Yeah, we forgot to tell you that we think Go to Sleep sounds like Matchstick Men. And like a little, and it also sounds like a Death in Vegas song. You like that song?
Yeah. What's not to like? And the reason for the Biophilia, I gotta turn this mic down. You read this.
The reason Biophilia film for National Geographic couldn't be made at first was because Michel Gondry was too tied up directing The Green Hornet with Seth Rogen.
Tie me down.
Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. I didn't even know about it. Oh, well.
It had a car in it that I was interested in, but...
Oh, I forgot to ask you. Do you know what string theory is?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Physics.
That's all?
Yeah.
Okay. I know everything now.
Let's start with an album overview. This album was released on October 5th, 2011.
On One Little Independent Records...
Is she still on One Little Independent?
Yeah, that's her record label for life. And this is just electronic experimental, avant-garde, whatever.
And I guess conceptual themes for this album are talking about the connection between rapture and technology.
Maybe.
Nature and technology, music and science, and natural funk phenomenon.
Yeah, this is Bjork's seventh album. It was recorded all over Iceland, New York, Guatemala, Puerto Rico, and Belize.
And what did a Reddit user say about this album?
She was like, damn, mother really booked and busy in the early 2010s. 2010s.
I think they were talking about how she was like, doing the education thing and the app and the album and the tour. And
yeah, she was really trying to get busy.
Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about.
We do. So let's start with our songs. So I put together a little lyrics, mm-hmm. some lyrics that were inspired by Bjork.
Oh, okay.
So if you could read them, this will introduce us to our songs.
Hollow chambers breathing. A virus of memory drifts. Sacrifice spills quietly, skin to stone to ash. Mutual core erupts, molten pulse between us. Solstice tilt, axis sings, earth excels. Wow, that sounds like
Did a you like that?
Good Bjork song. You wrote that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're really good at poetry. Just today we came across some poetry that you wrote.
We did.
About
enough about that.
What was... Oh.
So this is the mid part of the album, and it's like this video. It's like a video you were telling me about.
Yeah, it's like this video my video art professor showed me from 1977 called... Powers of 10, because it explores the macroscopic as well as the microscopic. Wasn't that wild?
Yeah. And you said it also reminded you of the film Midsommar.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Sometimes it's just a feeling.
Yeah. And this album also reminds me of when she did her very first Unplugged show, because it's using a lot of acoustic instruments.
But does she take those big... all the funky instruments from this on tour? Like the harpsichord?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's start with the first song, which is actually the fifth song or the fourth song?
Sixth.
It's hollow.
Yeah, critics say Hollow focuses on the micro world of DNA. Bjork seems to explore her Bjork is exploring her ancestral connections all the way down to its DNA in order to find answers that have left her empty.
This isn't a run-on sentence competition. Okay, you said this was giving you Tim Burton, Danny Elfman vibes. Tell me about that.
Yeah, because it sounds like something from Beetlejuice or something. And Bjork said this is a Halloween and Gothic song because it deals with the ghost of your ancestors and you're just a bead on the everlasting necklace. What?
Hollow was originally called Double Helix and DNA, so it had two alternate names.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, it's very 23andMe ancestry.com rabbit hole.
And it was inspired by...
You know, have you ever had that?
It was inspired by National Geographic... offering to look into her background with her DNA, and she found out that her mother's side is Phoenician, which is an ancient civilization from present-day Syria that actually became Celtic and then went to Ireland. It's been quite a journey.
Wow. Well, Hollow wouldn't be out of place in Yorgos Lanthimos' film.
I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kooky.
Yeah.
Well... The lyrics, when she says, looking for some answers, generations of mothers sailing in, somehow they were all shit folks. I'm not...
When you hear that back, it's going to sound like another word.
I'm not sure if she means her ancestors were boat people by trade, or if they came to this, they migrated by boats.
Anyway, she seems to have a mild obsession with ships, and this might be why.
Yeah.
Because if you're in Iceland, people had to get there somehow. It's an island.
Yeah.
So, there's boats in there. In their history.
What lyrics do you like?
I like, I am the egg of this tree because you like eggs.
She never says that.
That's one of my lyrics.
Oh, okay. Well.
Let's talk about production.
Yeah, the rhythm.
Is gonna get you.
Is gonna get you. And it's always changing and getting closer and slower and faster. Which is an interesting idea, but the song just doesn't go anywhere. It goes, it's got all this rising energy with no real destination.
You should have just said that.
That was me when I was a kid.
It's still you.
Yeah, true.
So there's an organ on Hollow, which is obvious to most people who listen. And Bjork recorded in Reykjavik. And it was a really big organ. Tell me about it. Tell me about that big organ.
It was pulsating. And it speeds up. Yeah, and it speeds up in the beginning of the song. It was made with the Max MSP software. It has a 17/18 time signature.
What's that?
I don't even know.
Okay. What's the typical time signature of one of your songs?
4/4. That's okay. Yeah. Sometimes I go out and I do a 3/4. It's wild. But, you know.
You always come home to that 4/4?
Yeah.
Okay, this song and some of the other songs on Biophilia were written using a PlayStation controller.
That's crazy.
I know. We got two PlayStation controllers right there.
Yeah.
Can we write a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also got a choir, and it's got some beats by Matthew Herbert.
And Bjork said she got bored with snares, hi-hats, and percussion, but she caved on certain songs, such as this one at the last minute. So basically she was like, I don't want any percussion, but then she heard it and she was like, it needs a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, someone said the slice of paradise.
Someone? Okay, a reviewer, a critic, said
the slice of paranoia is a 6-minute track that manages to be interesting for about 1 minute and should have probably been saved for White Swan, the hit new ballet starring Bjork. What are they talking about?
I think they said it was like it'd be better suited for like a white, like a Black Swan kind of film.
Cool. Pop off.
Reviewers are weird.
Yeah, but you know what's not weird?
Fun trivia.
Fun trivia.
Tell me the funnest of the trivias.
It's that in the music video / app, Bjork's head is made of a protein subunit. That's crazy. And so the video was made by biomedical animator Drew Barry, who used X-ray crystallography to create a ghost-like molecular model of DNA and proteins.
I feel like crystallography could be the name of one of your albums.
For sure.
It was inspired by paintings by Giuseppe Acrimboldo, who made faces out of fruit.
Have you seen those?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
why didn't you put a picture here?
It's cool. Drew Barry said he had a crush on Bjork when he was 14. Yeah.
You did too.
No.
Ahalo has two remixes. The first is a 16-bit remix. Who are 16-bit? Tell me about them.
We talked about them on the last episode.
Okay. And what do you think about this remix?
You can definitely do a cholo dance to this beat. You know about that cholo dance?
Yes.
Yes. And also Current Value remix.
I saw everyone doing it at your family reunion.
All right.
You played football. That was adorable.
Yeah.
And then the Current Value remix.
It's giving dubstep at a carnival vibes.
Like Carnival Cruises?
Yeah, that works too.
Neon Paredes did a version in the style of Fossora with clarinets and gabber beats.
Wow.
Tell me about a gabber beat.
It's like just goes really hard.
Yeah.
It's almost like happy hardcore. Death Grips has a song called Double Helix, though. And it's off their Money Store album. And it was released around the same time. So I wonder if there's any relation.
You looking for some relation? Yeah.
Yes. And is there anyone in your family that has done research on your ancestry or genealogy?
Yeah, my brother's kids. Or his daughter.
What are the results?
I don't know.
Aren't you curious?
Not really.
Well, why haven't you done your 23andMe yet? What are you afraid of?
I unfortunately did it.
Oh, you haven't shown me the results?
Yeah, I'm sure I've showed them to you.
No.
Have yours family done any genealogy?
Yeah, my cousin Teresa, shout out. She is really, like, into that.
Mm.
Like, the whole lineage. And she's even gone as far as to reach out to our biological grandfather.
Oh, the one that passed away recently?
Yeah. Shout out.
All right. What's a cocktail for this song? Is this the first song?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know, it's crazy. I'm excited too. It's called The Inner Void. This drink is all about layers, starting with something dark and unsettling and ending up with a surprising burst of sweetness, just like this song's acapella vocals.
It has dark rum, coffee liqueur, a touch of activated charcoal for color, and a passion fruit foam on top.
That was like when someone skeets in your drink. It's like, have my DNA.
Why is this a good drink for this song?
Because the dark look and bittersweet coffee flavor represent the hollow filling, while the passion fruit foam adds a sweet, vibrant layer that makes you think of the accelerating, unpredictable rhythm. Wow.
Get you. It's going to get you like a virus, the next song.
Wow. Yes.
What are your first impressions?
It's a bit Christmassy. It's a bit Vespertini. And if this is what a virus sounds like, then give me your disease, mama. Yes.
Bjork said virus was inspired by having candida in her throat. It's a fungus, I think.
Yeah. Have you had that?
No, I have not. And learning the fungus is forever going to be there. And she just has to learn to deal with it by having a certain diet and medications. Like having this new neighbor she has to learn to live with.
Have you ever had one of those?
I've lived with someone that...
Oh!
I had a well, one
she was also inspired by zombie snails, a.k.a. disco zombie snails, a.k.a. Damn it. Leucochloridium. Leucochloridium.
Keep going. It's a two-part.
Oh! Paradoxum.
Which are snails that are infested with the green-banded broodstack parasite. And they are basically, the parasite makes them zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that makes them an easy target for the birds.
Mm.
And then the birds get infected, and it gets in their feces, and that the snails end up eating, and it's just for starting this whole... cycle that the disco zombie life.
It's the circle of life.
You've been a disco zombie back in your day.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were. You told me.
I was always home by two.
Yeah, she basically predicted COVID with the virus. And we know a thing or two about this because we have been sick for the past few weeks. Conjunctivitis vibes.
Yeah. You don't feel sick still, do you?
I feel like residual sore throat, weird stuff with my nasals.
Nasals? My eyes are still scratchy sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been a lot more tired. I'm never tired, and I was tired. What? Like falling asleep, like on the couch. That's not me.
They're trying to wipe us out.
Who's they?
Who is they? They is the lyrics and interpretations.
Okay.
So one of the lyrics is, like a virus, patient hunter, I'm waiting for you, I'm starving for you, my sweet adversary. It's giving Fatal Attraction vibes, like, I love you to death, so I gotta kill you so I can thrive. Have you ever been there?
No. Makes no sense.
It's basically about a parasitic relationship where the virus loves the cell so much it ends up destroying it.
And the lyrics represent symbiotic relationships between things like mushrooms and trees, viruses and humans, bees and flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you can think of?
No.
Okay.
The lyrics were written by Sean again.
Mm.
Classic Sean.
Classic Sean. So what do critics, what's a critic hot take on production?
One critic said, compared to Crystalline, I really like the mix of Celeste and Gamelan sounds here. It has much more variety and texture. The subtle beats and choir really add so much dimension. Okay. Good for you.
Do you like this song better or Crystalline?
This song.
Okay.
Crystalline. So then you agree starts with to the, sound like an alarm clock. Sometimes.
You agree with the reviewer.
Yeah.
That it has. It's just more dimensional.
Right.
Okay. The music in Virus is made with the Gamma List, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
Which is a hang drum.
Playing. No. Also a hang drum.
And a hang drum. That's right. The Gamma List is like the thing that's the two instruments put together.
It's
the gamelan and the
it's a little
and the celeste.
Yeah, keyboard.
Yeah. And the beats and bass are done by
the hand drums are played by Manu del Lago. Oh. And there's also a choir.
You could have said that after I talked about the beats and bass.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't wait.
It's done by El Guincho.
Guincho.
And Leila Arab.
Mm-hmm. So Virus has a 3/4 time signature because it's like a waltz between the cell and the virus dancing around this fatal relationship.
And the Gamma List in this is very busy sounding, don't you think?
Yeah, because the Gamma List, that's supposed to represent how viruses multiply and spread, while the hang drum represents the cell or the bacteria that's just like chilling. Gonna get them vibes. Gonna catch those feelings.
Just like Cosmogony, a lot of the instruments contain copper, and that's usually what is used to cure Candida.
Yeah.
So she's gonna have that forever in her throat.
I don't know. Like, I don't know about that.
Okay.
It's her choice. I think the key changes towards the end symbolize the crossover from fighting against the virus to fully embracing it, because it's God's plan, y'all. That's nature.
Like a virus.
I usually try to wait things out. New way. I got some trivia, and that's that in the Biophilia app game for Virus, if you beat the virus and prevent the bacteria from attacking the cell, you don't get to hear the whole song. So in order to let the song play out, you must let nature run its course and let the virus take over.
Wow.
Yeah. It sucks, but you gotta do it.
The nuclei also turn into lips to mimic the singing.
Weird.
Singing.
The app animation was made by Scott Snibby, who made the Gravelux and Bubble Harp app. He also just released a book called How to Train a Happy Mind, A Skeptic's Path to Enlightenment. Wow.
You read that?
No.
Have you read any whole self-help book?
No, my mom tried to give me one called You're a Badass or something like that. And it got a calendar with it, too, that had...
Oh, I remember that calendar. Like,
eat this suck-it sandwich. Or, I don't know. Tell life to eat this suck-it sandwich and just be a bad bitch.
Wow.
It was weird.
She didn't think much of you, did she?
I know. I was like, thanks, Mom. I should send you a self-help book. That's enough.
So ironically, cyber criminals in Eastern Europe managed to spread a virus to Android users who were downloading the Biophilia app.
Yeah.
Full circle again, girl.
She predicts. She's a soothsayer. And Bjork was also influenced by apps like SoundDrop.
You use that SoundDrop?
No. But I've used apps like it. It's really cool. Musical interactive apps that make sound. I'm all about that.
Any covers that you want to talk about?
Well, Augusto made an instrumental cover of Virus in the style of Fasura, and Digi-D Digi did a cover in the style of Vespertine.
Which one of those do you like better? Which one do you want us to hear?
Vespertine.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also a cover by Renee Fleming with the Royal Swedish Philharmonic.
And there's two mixes. Matthew Herbert did a Fever remix.
Yeah.
And it's ambient, but a little dancey. You said it was like raving to Sound Bath.
Yeah. That sounds fun. Hudson Mohawk hit with his Peaches and Guacamole rework. It's kind of twinkly and kind of epic.
Which one of those do you like better?
I think I like the Hudson Mohawk.
Let's take a listen. And then Maria Pine did a cover? Who's Maria Pine?
I don't know. You put it there. Anyway, can I be the virus to your cell?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I mean, you make me sick quite a bit. So.
Yes, I'm going to kill you. The symbiotic sip is a drink.
That is inspired by this song.
Yes. This one is all about the unsettling combination of things. It's a sweet, delicious drink that has a hidden, sharp, almost medicinal kick.
And it's made with elderflower, liqueur, gin, a splash of lime juice, and a single drop of a chili tincture.
Mmm.
Or a little slice of jalapeno.
I don't want it.
That's it. There we go. Next song, Sacrifice.
It's got medieval melancholy, this song.
And what did Bjork say about this song?
She said it's the odd one out. A couple of years ago, I spent 8 months in Puerto Rico.
And where?
Puerto Rico. Where are you from? While I was there, five of my friends, couples, divorced. Maybe because all the other songs are about elements. I guess I became an anthropologist and decided to write it down in my book all the things that the girls were complaining about and all the things the guys were complaining about. The girls were all complaining about very similar things, so I ended up picking out sentences that they all had in common and skipping what they had different. It's about complaining.
Could have just started there.
I know.
She really walks you through her thought process.
She's a narcissist. She thinks it's really cool, her thought process. She's like, y'all just don't know. Come down my street.
But you love her and her albums. How could you say that? Half the time, I look at what's on your phone playing through headphones, and it's Bjork.
So, I look through yours and it's Britney Spears, so what?
I do not like Britney Spears. I respect her as an artist because she went through it, but...
Okay, Madonna.
Same thing.
Okay.
I feel like this song gets the album back on track for me because the beat's not really my favorite, but I like the harpsichord. And it also has some of my favorite lyrics, like... Your generosity will show in the volume of her glow.
Oh, that's nice. It's not overproduced, but it feels complete and it's more straightforward in a good way than some of the other songs.
You think so?
Yeah. I also think it's sparse and minimal and a little crazy at times.
And apparently this song was inspired by animal mating rituals and the sacrifices that women make. So it's interesting that it should come after Virus, which paints a scenario in which her partner has to make sacrifices for love.
Do you think women make a lot of sacrifices?
I mean, yeah, because they typically are the ones that have to raise the kids and get pregnant.
Yeah.
So it's hard to have a career. And then they have periods and menopause.
But don't men make a lot of sacrifices as well?
I don't know. You can just be shooting your load anywhere, and then you're like, going to just walk away.
Go about my day.
Yeah.
Do what I want. Okay. Peace standing up. It's a free world, y'all. Bjork said when she
I think men make fewer sacrifices than women in this world. There's cultures that I feel like women play more of a role.
Yeah.
There's more equality, but not in this culture.
Yeah. Bjork said when she was renting a beach house in Puerto Rico, five or four divorced friends came to visit. Yeah, like I told you. She became interested in the common things the divorced men and women were complaining about. So in that sense, this song is more anthropological, which stands out from the other songs on this album, which are more about the natural world.
Shout out natural world. So as far as the lyrics, there's one that goes, "Your generosity will show in the volume of her glow."
Yeah, it's a poetic way to describe the result of selfless act. It connects giving and light, suggesting that true generosity makes a person shine brighter.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
What's another lyric?
I like where she says, "Why this sacrifice? Now she regrets the whole thing, a delayed reaction when she left her crowd voluntarily for your nest, your love." Did you understand? Appreciate? It's about manspreading and mansplaining. You know, you do that all the time.
The lyrics seem to be about the female giving up her independence and her art for their partner. And now she's found herself to be unhappy because there's no understanding or appreciation of what she's given up.
Right. Have you ever been accused of mansplaining?
I'm sure. No, I know I've done it. I don't think I've ever been accused of it.
Oh, you recognized it in your own self?
Yeah.
Oh.
How about you?
No. Okay. Women and female animals are usually seen as weak, submissive, and are responsible for giving birth and feeding their offspring. It's a lot of sacrifice.
You just asked me why. Like,
no.
It's interesting how the lyrics mention compression and the music somehow mirrors that compression. Tell me how.
Because what Henry Dagg was said is that the structure was roughly A, B, A, C, A. And Bjork explained the nature of the lyrics gave her difficulty in editing it. So in the end, Henry Dagg had to compress it to the minimum possible number of bars and program a skeleton section at B over...
God. My eyes are glazed over.
Which she would play two differing live parts on the sharpsichord keyboard based on her original score. Do you understand now?
No, I don't. Why don't you draw it for me?
Yeah, so the spastic, distorted beats that come in and out of the song juxtapose the gentleness and fragility of Bjork's voice. But maybe that's like her inner rage coming out. She's like, listen to me.
What's she raging about?
The sacrifices women have to make. When she says arrow in the flesh, it's like women who sacrifice their desires for love, and it feels like they're a wounded animal.
You been there?
Yes. Why don't you let me go out with my girls every once in a while?
So as far as production, the star of this song is the magnificent sharpsichord, which is...
I don't know her.
What is a sharpsichord?
It's a harp Music Box Hybrid, created by Henry Dagg for the Cecil Harp House's English Folk Dance and Song Society's Garden in London in 2010, but it was too fragile to be left outside. Just like me.
Matthew Herbert's... Oh, go on.
No, I just wanted to say she really enjoyed this idea of hybrids of like... Mm. It just reminds me of the sci-fi film Annihilation, because that's what it was, just mixing animals with humans and plants with humans.
You about that live?
Yeah, I like that movie. Anyway, Matthew Herbert sent Bjork a video of the Sharpsichord playing Beach Boys, God Only Knows, and she immediately emailed Dag requesting to work together.
And Bjork was able to afford this by using her Polar Music Award prize money, which was 1 million Swedish kroner, or about 160,000 US dollars.
Yeah.
You don't think she could afford that? I mean...
She just left her record company, so they weren't financing her things. Mm. And okay. Yeah, by herself, she was like, I'm broke, yeah.
Sure she wasn't.
She goes to Disneyland too much.
So the Sharpsichord has... What does this mean, a short memory span?
I don't know, because Sacrifice needed... six-cylinder rotation, so he had to compress it. So I guess the instrument runs on this somewhat cylinder thing, like a music box.
Okay.
And, but it has a short memory span as it rotates. You can't fit a whole, like, five-minute song in there.
Okay.
So you gotta find a way to compress it.
Keep going.
No, because Current Value did the beats, and Bjork originally wanted...
You stand behind that?
Yes. She wanted to sample his song, The Good, from his Tech Freak LP, but he said no one offered... He said no. And he offered... He offered to make a new beat that resembled it. And Bjork only gave him one night to work on it. So, scandalous.
So who's it being remixed by?
Matthew Herbert. He's got his Pins and Needles remix, and he takes you on a journey of dynamics.
What does that mean?
Just like his quiet moments, loud moments, fast moments, slow moments. You got all those moments.
And the Death Grips, which represent your hometown.
Sacramento.
Which is verging on hyperpop type of vibes.
What do you think of Sacramento?
I don't.
There. The Sharpsichord was only used for live performances in the UK since it did not travel well. Sacrifice had to be performed on a clavichord at the other shows. That's funny. So, you know, she just had to sacrifice not traveling with that instrument. All the dots connect.
Brought it home. And then there's the Sacrifice app, which allows users to create their own composition of the song using short samples of the original stems. Have you played with that?
Yeah, I played with all these apps. Of course I have. Yeah, so Sacrifice feels like a precursor to Bjork's own relationship troubles and her following album, Fonikura.
Who is that relationship with? Matthew Barney?
Yeah. And you were watching, you told me you were watching Pocahontas, the Disney movie. Well,
I do not know her.
And you were doing, I was doing my research. And I feel like Pocahontas made a lot of sacrifices in the film for John Smith. But that's not even historically accurate, so.
So you're saying she didn't make sacrifices?
No, not the real Pocahontas. But the Disney Pocahontas, yeah. So, if you could have a custom instrument, what would that be?
It would one that would play while you were snoring.
While I was snoring, yeah. So it would like trigger when I started snoring.
No, it'd be like a tuba on your, like, you know, attached to your mouth.
I thought like
you. So you would be the instrument.
You've been saying I've been talking in my sleep.
All of it.
So I was wondering if you were like trying to transmit that to like sound waves.
Sure.
To make it musical.
Yeah. For sure.
So it doesn't wake you up. Anyway.
No, but you're the instrument. Get it? Like I put something on your mouth and as you breathe it makes noise.
Yeah.
So it's you.
Mine would be a bunch of kittens laid out on a keyboard and this hammer comes down and gently taps them.
Why a hammer then? Why wouldn't it be like like a paper towel roll.
So they just like go like
a foam hand with a finger.
Anyway, I'm just exploiting animals and abusing them.
Taps gently with a hammer.
We have a cocktail, right?
Yeah, it's called The Offering, and it's a tribute to the harpsichord's ancient sound. It's a classic drink with a unique earthy twist that feels both traditional and a little bit off-kilter. What's in it?
Oh, so that's like a female sacrifice?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you got bourbon, rye whiskey, a dash of Amaro, a small spoonful of blackberry jam, and a sprig fish of lamb. I can't. A sprig of fresh thyme. I think my eyes are glazing over.
You imagine a drink with lamb in it? That'd be awful.
Okay.
Okay, let's just move on. Let's talk about Mutual Core.
Oh, I like this song.
Me too.
After Sacrifice, it gets things back on track. Mutual Core keeps the fun going.
And like Crystalline, it has a heavy, but what kind of chorus does it have?
Like a basic bitch pop chorus, layers them. She layers them with interesting verses.
It's atmospheric, but then boom, a chorus that's meaningful and catchy.
Yeah. I think Mutual Core does a better job of blending the album's pop and experimental sides than Virus does. So for me, it might be the best song on the album.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Me too.
I shuffle around the tectonic plates.
So
it feels like a rave explosion at a small church, right?
You've been there?
Yeah.
Done that? I went to a rave in a church.
What? Where?
In Seattle.
When?
I don't know. A long time
ago. Do you remember what church?
No. It was in,
what neighborhood?
What's the thing next to Capitol Hill where the hospitals are?
Harry Street. Where the college town? I don't know.
Where the other the other Whole Foods is. That area. Something Hill.
Oh, First Hill.
First Hill.
Oh.
It was in First Hill. It was a church.
Fun.
Okay.
I want to go to a rave. Especially the washing machine church.
Yeah.
Mutual Core was originally called Organ Plaid to describe interwoven music fabric.
Organ plaid?
Yes. Sorry.
Björk said Mutual Core is about the movement of tectonic plates in a lake in Iceland called
Thingvallan.
Okay.
Thingvallan. I don't know.
And they move at the speed of a finger. They move at the speed that a fingernail grows, and it's about dissolving magnetic energy and separation.
I mean, that's pretty fast, because my fingernails grow pretty big, but at the end of 2 weeks.
Mine too.
Or I have to cut it every 2 weeks, so that's a large amount of movement every 2 weeks.
We just had an earthquake here.
We did. I was kind of scared, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, my heart was racing.
I didn't think you woke
I couldn't
up.
Sleep. It was on a Sunday night, and I couldn't sleep that well, and I was just so frustrated, and I think I finally fell asleep, and it was just like, that's when it started to shake, and I was just like, like, what's happening? And because it made the building made a noise, too.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't know. I haven't experienced too much earthquakes in my life.
Mm.
I think there was like two
but
little...
But you acted so cool.
Two You're little ones like, in LA.
Whatever.
What do you want?
You run down the hall with your hair on fire.
Just set it on fire. Jump out the window. It's a rapture.
So what did the reviewer say?
They said that Bjork seems to be challenging... Channeling her inner diva, Plava Laguna from the Fifth Element, and bridges the gap between classical and ultra progressive in a single song. I can see that.
Yeah. Diva.
Yeah. Plava that makes Laguna. Sense.
That's the blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's an actual woman that sang it.
Yeah, that was Luc Besson's. Yeah. Wife or girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
But my lyric, my favorite... Oh, and then he had an affair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My favorite lyric is the core... What? This is not a lyric. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
I didn't put it there.
Anyway, it's... You were saying, because you're a scientist.
Yeah, so I like the reference to the speed at which the Atlantic plates are diverging. Like you were saying, like, that, you know, as fast as your fingernail grows, the Atlantic ridge drifts.
Because it's true, girl.
Like you said with your own fingernails.
Diverging. That's what you sounded like, scientist.
What?
Anyway, I like it when she says you hid the key to our continuity. I didn't know you had it in you. I didn't know you had it in you. It's just the eruption. It does stagnation. It's been a long week.
I think it's catchy and I like how the chorus goes hard.
Yeah. It's like when you're fighting or drifting from your partner and they finally do something passionate or emotional that helps pull the relationship out of a rut, like throwing some plates or slap me around or break a martini glass.
Did that turn you on?
Yeah.
The lyrics for Mutual Core were inspired by Bjork and her partner coming to a decision where their daughter should go between Reykjavik and New York. What was the decision?
I'm lost. Yeah, if her daughter should go to school between Reykjavik or New York.
That's what I said, but what was the decision? What did they decide? Where'd she end up going to school?
I think New York.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Which one did you choose? Reykjavik or New York? Reykjavik
or New York? Probably New York.
Oh, why?
Because you can fly to Reykjavik from New York in like 3 hours.
Ooh.
And 4 hours. And you can fly anywhere from New York. And New York has No, right now, with the thing way things are going in this country, I'd say Reykjavik.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, Björk said this was the most personal song on the album, and it's as it related to her inner conflict about being between North America and Iceland and the Eurasian tectonic plates and continental drift theory, y'all. You know. But I want to tell you about the production.
Tell me.
So, we're talking about time signatures. Mutual Core has a 5-4 time signature, but it switches to a 2-4 in the chorus. Björk just really wanted to break out of the time signatures.
Yeah.
It's got an organ, an ascending choir, and the crazy electronic beats by 16-bit Björk and Matthew Herbert.
Okay. What did a critic say? What was a critic hot take?
One critic said the aggressive dubstep-like breakdown against the crescendo of the choir feel like the belching of lava. Okay. Well, they should see the video.
Yeah, it's not very original.
Mm-mm.
In the Mutual Core app, you had the app, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was reading a lot of reviews on Reddit, and half the people said she spent too much time on the app and she should have spent more time on the music.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think...
What do you have to do in the app?
Well...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Tell me.
No.
Tell me.
I don't know. It was good. I think, you know, artists, if they want to spend more time on the visuals than the music, then...
It's still part of the art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
I told you when we were talking about music videos, sometimes it feels like it's so inextricably linked between the song and the video that you can't imagine one without the other.
And in my research, I come to find that the music is meant to be minimal because she just wanted to simplify things for people. This was her educational album. She wanted to teach people to do things. She wasn't trying to, like...
So she thought everybody was idiots?
Yeah, she was like, look what yet magic I can create. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Anyway.
I'm having a breakdown, y'all. Yeah, so in the app, did you say that she has to create the chords? You have to create the chords.
What? Yeah, you bring the layers of the earth together and it creates chords.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the music video? Tell me about it.
It was directed by Andrew Thomas Wank. And it was filmed in Iceland for 2 days.
And it was edited in Los Angeles for 4 months. And it involved a lot of puppetry and CGI and sand. Do you like it?
I love it. In the video, Björk is wearing a dress by Michael Vanderham, and the costumes were inspired by Thai and Indonesian costumes.
What do you love about it?
The song?
The video.
The video?
Yeah.
I love that the magma in the video that Björk is throwing up, it involved a mixture of ketchup and cake batter.
That's why you love the video.
Yes. It's my favorite part. Okay. I love cake batter and ketchup.
The video was commissioned by the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles, otherwise known as MoCA.
Have you been there?
Yeah. We never went.
I did. I've been there.
So we never went. Oh. Okay. Björk asked Wang to do the video after seeing his short film called Solipsist. Is that right?
Solipsist? I don't know.
Solipsist.
We just watched it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was cool.
Yeah. The video, Mutual...
It's like these women getting enveloped by... It reminds me of like the Rainforest Cafe kind of vibe.
Yeah, like Princess Mononoke.
Okay.
Mutual Core, the music video, was shown in Times Square for 1 month in 2013, y'all.
Wow.
Why not? Okay. Mutual Core is Hwang's first music video, and since then, he has made more videos with Bjork and other artists, including Tom York, Sigur Rós, FEA Twigs, and Charlie XCX. And fun story, I went to a Q&A with Andrew Thomas Hwang at the Ace Hotel, and he said he got the call to work with Bjork while he was outside of the Rock and Roll Ralphs on Sunset. Huh. Have you been there?
Yeah, I used to live right by there.
Oh, I've been there. And I also saw Bjork perform this live twice. Do you know the song?
What? Calm down. When's the last time she performed this song?
Okay. Yeah. She performed this live once in 2013 and again in 2017 at the FYF Festival, and that was my favorite.
And the why?
Because she did it with strings, and I just really like strings.
Okay.
And I saw it with my brother.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And the last time she performed this was in Harpa in Reykjavik with a brass arrangement.
That was cool. And there's a mashup I really like with Tom York, his song Hearing Damage. And that's by Atropa Belladonna.
Can we take a listen?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, hella good. Well, Bjork released stems for the Mutual Core on the website Beatport, so anybody could remix it for a contest in 2012.
And you didn't win?
No, I didn't even try because I was busy with other things. I was working on my first Sine Wave album. And Okay, it's not that good.
No, it's really good.
What's your favorite track then?
I don't. The songs.
The one with the singing.
When I listen to your albums, I just put them on and I listen to them. But I'm not like, what song is this? What song is this? It's just a vibe.
Fair enough. I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who won?
The winner was Breakwave, aka Wax Crooks, and it's basically dubstep hyphiness. So good for them. Yeah. I don't care. I wouldn't have won anyway because I wouldn't made no dubstep mess. But did you like dubstep?
Never.
I mean, it's like a mood. It's like metal
music. Yeah, metamucil.
I saw some dubstep artists at Coachella, and it was fun. But, like, I don't listen to it on my own. I don't go searching for it.
Yeah. I've never heard you play it.
Mm-mm.
And how about remixes?
Well, it's been remixed by Matthew Herbert. He's got his Teutonic Plates.
And 16-bit, again. It's like the original, but a bit more beat heavy, and it's played on Icelandic flights to Iceland. It played on Icelandic flights to Iceland when she was playing there. Was that supposed to be a joke?
A tongue twist. Yeah. So anyway, you get the point. These New Puritans did a remix which samples the funeral song Solomon Islands 1978. It's from the album Spirit of Melanesia by David Fan Shaoe. Fan Shaoe.
And it sounds like an island sermon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, can I get a tectonic shift?
Sure. I'm going to serve you a drink that has mezcal for a smoky base, pineapple juice, and habanero-infused simple syrup. Hot, y'all.
No, thanks. So, I want a
Solstice.
Yeah, in this song, Björk is accompanied by the choir for the first... Is unaccompanied.
Unaccompanied.
Choir for the first time. The gravity harp comes together for the song that shifts between some very beautiful and peaceful melodies and something that is a little dark and almost unsettling.
Yeah. It's like a...
Counterpoint.
Oh, counterpoint. That's the word I was looking for.
It combines two or more melodic lines to create a harmonic texture, and the way the pendulum interacts resemble that.
That was cool to see the pendulums.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool to see the little mini demo he did.
Yeah.
And then,
it's like,
and then
last,
you saw them built.
Last night, we saw these robotic arms play these bows.
Who was that?
Space-Time Solutions?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. And it's probably the most underrated song on this album, but for that reason alone, it stands out.
Yeah. It's,
what does it remind you of?
It reminds me of the original Wicker Man film. There's a song on the soundtrack that sounds like this.
I feel like Wicker Man and Midsommar are very similar films.
They are.
That's all.
You can't even tell me that he wasn't inspired by The Wicker Man. It's a good xenophobic horror film.
Okay.
You know? I love those films. Yeah. Anyway.
Do you like the folklore films? You know, the ones that are like...
Yeah.
Like, the, what was the one we saw where the family kills everyone? Where they go to the island?
Oh, and you think yeah. I don't remember.
Oh.
Getaway or something?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Who was in it?
The guy from Shaun of the Dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some twists and turns that I liked.
Definitely. What other films are you looking forward to?
Oh. I don't know.
Okay.
I kind of want to see that Bones one. Or see what it's about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go see it.
Okay.
Not knowing anything. That's what you call a blind movie date.
Is that really a thing?
No, I just talking. My
watch favorite... is about like the making of that TV show Bones.
That'd be fun too. Well, that wasn't a bad show.
You saw it?
My brother watched it, and I would catch bits and pieces.
I tried to watch it. And...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. We got something to tell you about the lyrics, but it's not pretty. No, I'm kidding. The use of the pendulum harps references the movement of planets, the Earth's rotation, and gravity. Do you know all about that?
Yeah, but that's not a lyric. But okay.
I know.
What did Björk say about this song?
She said that Sean wrote this poem, which... I really, really love, and it's called Solstice. Chic it's basically a Christmas carol.
Which?
It's basically a Christmas carol, and it's sort of about the fact that the four seasons are because of the tilt of the earth.
She said that?
Yes.
Okay. She's always infusing things with meaning.
I know.
Why can't you be more like that?
What do you like? What lyric do you like? What?
Oh no, what did I do?
And, okay, I like the lyric. And then you remember that you yourself, you are a light bearer. A light bearer receiving radiance from others. Flickering sun flame.
Isn't that your nickname?
Yes, that's what you call me every morning. Good morning, flickering sun flame.
Okay.
That sounds like someone's name in Portland.
Shout out, Michelle.
Yeah. So it sends off on a positive note while using the earth as a metaphor. It's like, find your light, girl.
Do you feel like you found your light?
Yeah.
Okay.
Since Björk had decided to delay the release of the album after performing a few biophilia shows live, she decided her live performance of Solstice in Manchester sounded better than the studio version and decided to put that one on the album.
Have you heard the studio version?
Yeah.
Do you agree that it sounds the...
Yeah, it's just like, because every time... the string gets plucked, you hear the, like, wood thumping or something. But it kind of creates this natural kick. But I don't know if she wanted that, because she was against drums. So she probably just wanted to... She liked the way the acoustics sound in the live version. And then my mother put Coke bottles in her hair. And we were Jehovah's Witness. You know? Oh, no, it's vodka bottles.
The pendulum was inspired by Léon Foucault's pendulum, which we saw at the Pantheon in Paris. Do you remember?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The gravity harps for Solstice were made by Andy Cavartorta after Björk turned up at MIT in search of someone working with robotic instruments.
You just saying that reminded me of this thing I just saw where, like, a TikToker got banned and she showed up to the headquarters and she's standing outside yelling at them. She's on her phone trying to call them and she's banging on the door.
At MIT?
No, at the TikTok headquarters. There was a TikToker.
Yeah.
That got banned.
At the TikTok headquarters.
And then she went to the TikTok headquarters and was, like, banging on the door. She showed up.
Oh, I get it.
So it reminds me of this. You're just turned up at MIT. She's like...
That's how she does it. She'll turn up anywhere. Demanding stuff.
I could see that. Do you mean Björk's voice, her demanding something?
No.
Come on.
The gravity harps were made of old train tracks and wooden logs and a round rotating harp at the bottom.
And Solstice has a 7/4 and 6/4 time signature.
Yes. So a user from Reddit said, I can never remember if this was before or after her vocal cord surgery, but she sounds strained and tired. Maybe she was still getting used to her lower register, but a lot of the sparse instrumentation didn't help make her voice pop like it did before, and only highlighted its frailty.
Was this before or after her vocal cord surgery?
I think it was before.
So she still had the thing.
Yeah. You know, because it's a fungus. You can't get rid of it.
But does she still had to have surgery?
Yeah.
Damn.
I know. Wow. There's a gamless version of Solstice.
What do you think about this person's review? They said that... But she sounds strained and tired. Do you agree or do you think she sounds...
I think she sounds a little tired, but I just felt like that comes with age. I don't know. Anyway, there's a Gamma's version of Solstice.
So you think she still sounds like that? Because the older she gets, the more tired she's going to sound, if the way you're describing it is true.
She sounds mature. Okay?
Okay.
And so, there's a Gamma's version of Solstice, and it was released on the Biophilia app around Christmas time.
In the app, there's an animation resembling the solar system, and there's multicolored rays springing from the sun, and there's planets surrounding the sun. That's basically a solar system. And when they are in orbit, they create a melody, and you can change the notes of the melody by dragging the planets to a different position.
Right on.
Is that based on harmonics, do you think, or is it just...
Yeah.
You know, there's no sound in space.
Because you can even change the viewpoint so that it looks like a Christmas tree. Which draws in the winter solstice theme. You get that? You understand?
I just was wondering if it was based on the harmonics of the planet spinning, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was remixed by Current Value, which turns Solstice into a dark dubstep song.
There's a lot of dubstep going on at the time, huh?
Yeah, I mean... It works, but I'm not a big fan of it.
Okay.
It's forgettable.
Is there any audio from the app we can play?
Yeah.
Let's listen. There you go. It's like you were there.
Give me a drink.
It's called the Gravity Harp.
All right.
And this has vodka, sparkling water, and a hint of white grape juice with a few small round melon balls.
Mmm.
Sink to the bottom. And the ingredients here are light and airy, just like the song's quiet melody.
Nice.
And the melon balls on the bottom are supposed to look like planets.
Oh, yeah?
Floating in space.
Wow.
A nod to the gravity harp and the celestial theme.
Okay.
You got that? Do you want one now?
Yeah, I'll take one.
Okay.
As long as it's not spicy.
Spicy for the pepper.
I'm hungry.
Okay, so... closing thoughts. I used to listen to this whole album as background music, and I always really liked it as background music, but it took me a long time to get around to liking it for the individual songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
and I was going to say theme-wise, as somebody who likes science, I really like the theme, you know, like how cohesive it is in songs and the production and how the album... just doesn't feel very rushed like her other albums.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Okay. Well, I would say that we should listen to this album with headphones at a science, nature, or history museum sometime.
Would you?
I would do that. Take an edible and just...
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Sounds like our thing.
Let's do it.
Okay. And get some McDonald's afterwards.
We'll tell you about it.
Taco Bell.
Somebody from Reddit said, I feel like this gets lost in the conversation most of the time because, to put it simply, as charming, as interesting as it is, and as commendable of an achievement as it is, she has amazingly, and to her credit, accomplished so much more. So they're saying, like, it's good, but she's done better.
Hey, I just placed this album on a mid-tier level, whatever you want to call it.
Mid?
Yeah, it's mid.
Okay.
It's not up there with her good ones from the 90s, but it's not down there with the flops either. So it's just like... There was so much to research on this album, and I appreciate that she created a whole world around this album.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
So,
I love it.
There was a poll for the best songs of Biophilia. Tell us what the most popular song was.
Looks like Mutual Core.
And then next,
Crystalline.
And that was followed by Moon. And then Thunderbolt.
Yeah, and then Sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just Sharon. Just Karen.
Yeah, so no more Biophilia, no more... Yeah.
You didn't say no more Bjork?
No. We got more Bjork, believe me.
How many more albums does she have?
Five.
No, more?
I'm kidding.
Three.
Three? Yeah. She has 10 albums, so this is the... I forgot.
Seventh?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So three more.
That's it. No, I'm kidding. We can do the B-sides.
The live albums. The remixes.
Yes.
What are we doing next? You want to do another movie?
Okay. We can do a soundtrack.
What Radiohead do you want to do next?
In Rainbows, but we can do a soundtrack. I know we do too much.
Do too much. We'll see.
This is your month. You can choose.
Oh, okay, yeah, let's do a movie.
Oh, okay.
My birthday movie.
What's your birthday movie?
You'll find out.
Scared. Is it Grease?
What? I don't like musicals.
Okay.
And... No.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll tell you later.
All right. Cool. Good night. Goodbye. Good morning. Whatever.
Kisses.
Chicken. Besitos.
What type of kisses?
Chicken kisses. Chicken kisses. Ready.
Okay.